Hi, my name is Cole Biesmeyer, and I'm the lead technical artist at Open Robotics, and today we'll be discussing some of the methods and techniques we've used to improve our content creation process when creating virtual worlds and assets for Ignition Gazebo. For those not aware, Ignition Gazebo is the next generation of Gazebo with brand new features specifically in rendering. Excuse me. Some of you are probably more familiar with Gazebo Classic. However, we have an awesome new rendering feature in Ignition Gazebo called physically based rendering. We'll be discussing what physically based rendering is and why it's important. Physically based rendering is a rendering feature that generally refers to materials in real-time graphics engines and allows the use of various maps such as normal maps, roughness maps, and metalness maps applied to a model to accurately simulate the way light behaves across the surface of an object. It is now the standard material system used in real-time applications such as video games. One reason that physically based rendering is a more accurate method of simulating the way light flows across the surface of an object is because it operates on the fact that all objects in the real world are reflective and can use specific values to emulate real-world surfaces. Physically based rendering generally consists of a few maps that control how light reflects off the object. The albedo map purely controls the color of the object. It will look very flat as there is no lighting information contained within this map. The metalness map and roughness maps control what parts of the object are metallic and how smooth various parts of the object are. The normal map controls the direction of the light bouncing off the object. This allows for more detail to be displayed versus using geometry alone. One last map that is needed is the environment map. This gives metallic and very smooth surfaces an environment to reflect. Combining all these maps together gives you the final material. Previous versions of Gazebo were only able to utilize a single color map. This simpler approach did not allow for reflective surfaces, the added detail achieved through normal maps, or the mixing of different surface types across an object. Unlike older methods, physically based rendering also makes creating realistic assets much more straightforward because the assets created will look correct in any environment. It also allows for accurate representation of real-life surfaces by using specific predetermined values. Here you can see some of the objects we've created for Ignition projects that utilize physically based rendering. You'll notice the high-resolution detail being shown through the use of normal maps. You may also notice that the surfaces of objects are realistically reflecting light and the environment depending on the type of surface they are simulating. The paint on the fire extinguisher is reflecting the environment map as its physical counterpart would be. And the rescue doll is able to accurately display multiple surface types, such as the glossy material of the jacket and the high roughness surface of the pants, all with one material. These models are all using low polycount geometry, yet are still able to display smooth edges and intricate detail through the use of normal maps. The workflow for creating content suitable for use with physically based rendering in Ignition Gazebo is comparable to the creation of content for modern game engines, such as the Unreal Engine or Unity. Therefore, creating content for projects in Ignition Gazebo will be familiar to content creation professionals from other industries such as game development, visual effects, and architectural visualization. The content creation for Ignition Gazebo projects can maintain relevance even as we continue to improve the rendering capabilities of Ignition Gazebo because the assets created are derived from highly detailed and accurate high-resolution models. By having a high-quality source asset, we can optimize down to whatever is suitable to the hardware we're targeting. We also utilize procedural texturing whenever possible through the software Substance Painter. Substance Painter is a tool that allows for procedural texturing of objects by placing detail on the object based on things like the curvature of the geometry, direction, or height. This is great for quickly adding detail like worn edges or dripping paint or dust that has settled on the top of an object. Because it is procedural, this software allows us to quickly change the look of objects for different environments, as well as being able to change the resolution of textures easily without any loss of quality, even when converting to higher resolutions. It also allows us to texture models quickly by using previously created smart materials, which are essentially presets that can be applied to any model as a jumping off point for a final texture. Also shown is an idea of how we usually go about creating models for Ignition Gazebo projects. First, we create a high poly count model that is highly detailed. We then create a low poly count model suitable for real-time rendering that matches the shape of the high-resolution model. Then we bake all the information from our high-resolution onto the normal map that can be used on the final model. We then texture the model using Substance Painter, and this will give us our albedo maps, metalness maps, and roughness maps. So why is physically based rendering important for robotic simulators? Well, we've already talked about how physically based rendering improves upon the system used in Gazebo Classic. More realism in our environments and objects that robots are interacting with means more true-to-life information for computer vision systems and simulation. It also allows for more standardized and modern content creation workflows. An important note is that physically based rendering focuses on realism at the asset level and is not a lighting feature such as ray tracing, global illumination, or light mapping. It also does not pertain to image effects such as depth of field, motion blur, and ambient occlusion. These rendering features are important features that work in tandem with physically based rendering. The current project we've been working on that has benefited from physically based rendering is the DARPA Subterranean Challenge. This competition required the creation of multiple virtual environments, such as various mine shafts, subway tunnels, and caves. Physically based rendering has allowed us to use modern content creation tools such as ZBrush and Substance Painter in a workflow that is iterative and straightforward. Each environment utilizes multiple physically based materials. Assets were created using the software 3ds Max, ZBrush, Substance Painter, and Photoshop. When building out our more complex virtual worlds, we mainly use the software 3ds Max. After building the world and placing objects, lights, and colliders, we then use a custom 3ds Max script to convert the scene to SDF. This will set up all the necessary physically based rendering materials for the scene, as well as recreate the lights and colliders in Ignition Gazebo. In the future, Ignition Gazebo will have more powerful world-building tools that will allow for faster creation of complex environments within Ignition Gazebo. We're now going to discuss a couple of ways that we create content quickly and efficiently for Gazebo projects. We work on multiple simulation projects at a time, so having the ability to create real-time environments for Gazebo quickly is a necessity. Two ways that we do that are through the use of a technique known as photogrammetry, and also by utilizing resources found in asset libraries to help speed up development. Firstly, we'll be looking at the process of photogrammetry. Photogrammetry is a technique where you take photos of physical objects and convert them to a 3D model. Here you can see a very basic breakdown of the workflow used in photogrammetry. The first step is taking photos of the subject you'd like to convert. Then those photos are fed into software that converts those images into a point cloud. And finally, that point cloud is converted into a model. A texture map is also created by stitching together the various photos. The 3D model can then be optimized for real-time use by reducing the poly count from millions to hundreds or thousands. So why photogrammetry? First off, you can achieve very realistic geometry and texture information since the information is coming from a physical source. It's also much faster than traditional asset creation methods. The photogrammetry process creates your high-resolution model and texture which is the most time-consuming part of 3D content creation and also requires the most skill. It is also possible to achieve accurate, varied, and high-resolution detail that would be impractical to create by hand. Another great aspect of photogrammetry is it has a relatively low barrier of entry compared to other methods of replicating real-world objects in a virtual environment. It can be done with lower-end hardware or even a phone camera if need be, and open-source software is available. Another big advantage that photogrammetry has is versatility. Photogrammetry can be used indoors, outdoors, in low light, bright light, small objects, large objects, and even large terrain. Although different environments and subjects require different considerations, almost anything can be captured via photogrammetry. Models created using photogrammetry can also be combined with physically based rendering. However, the process is a little different. Although photogrammetry gives a highly detailed albedo map and geometry, it does not create the roughness map required for physically based rendering. Because of this, a roughness map is generally approximated from the albedo map using 2D editing software. So this roughness map will never be 100% accurate to the real-life object. If the object is metallic, it will also need a metalness map. However, reflective objects are very difficult to recreate with photogrammetry. With photogrammetry, your subject will determine how you take your photos. Standalone objects will require you to move around the object, or if the object is small and light enough, it is even more desirable to place on a turntable. This will allow for more precise movements and the use of a tripod for extremely sharp images. Sharp images are very important for photogrammetry, since this will allow the photogrammetry software to match more points, allow for more accurate point clouds to be generated. Photogrammetry is also very useful for tiling surface textures. For this type of surface, it's best to use a tripod and move in a zigzag pattern across the surface you're trying to capture. This will allow you to capture very clear photos very quickly. Tiling textures are great for covering large areas of environments very quickly. It's usually a starting point for a virtual environment. One of the most difficult parts of photogrammetry is the issue of direct light. When taking photos, it's important to consider the lighting conditions. Any lighting that the subject is exposed to will also be included in the color texture. This is undesirable because we want the lighting to come from the lights in our simulator, not from the static lighting baked into the color map. You can greatly reduce the amount of harsh, direct lighting that is picked up by the camera by either taking photos on an overcast day, when the lighting is more diffuse, or if you're shooting outside, or by using a studio setup. And although these are great ways to reduce the amount of direct lighting in your final texture, it is sometimes unavoidable. Even if you can completely remove direct lighting, there is still light that gets occluded in the crevices of models that can be harsh. Some real-time engines also utilize this type of shadow as an ambient occlusion map that can be independently controlled based on the in-engine lighting. In order to remove the direct lighting contained in the color map, we use a mix of software and manual editing and a 2D software such as Photoshop. Two useful tools for this is the delighting tool that is available in the Unity game engine, and also the Agisoft delighting tool that allows manual input to guide the software. This type of software is very useful for working with color textures created using photogrammetry because shooting conditions are rarely perfect. Here you can see some of the photogrammetry work we did for the DARPA Subterranean Challenge. The photos taken for these models were taken on-site at the Edgar Experimental Mine in Colorado. These photos were taken in a tunnel with very little, sometimes virtually zero light. This actually was a positive as it allowed for more control over the lighting conditions, which we know can be one of the biggest hurdles when it comes to photogrammetry. In this case, a flash was used to create the necessary lighting. Another project we used photogrammetry for was the DIU drone project. These photos were taken at Baylands Park in Mountain View, California. Working in an outdoor environment like this can be challenging due to the harsh directional lighting, as we talked about earlier. A Nikon D800 DSLR was used for these photos, mostly with a 50mm prime lens. Although a DSLR can be very useful for its ability to take very sharp photos using a low shutter speed and large image sensors, you don't need a high-end DSLR to get great results. Even a phone camera You can get very good results using photogrammetry. The most important thing is taking the right pictures. For software, Reality Capture was used for its ability to create models very quickly. Moving on from photogrammetry, another great resource for creating virtual worlds faster are asset libraries. Asset libraries are online databases filled with content from artists who've uploaded their work. These can include models, textures, animations, and even entire environments ready to go. If you need a relatively small number of models or the scope of your virtual world is smaller, then these can be a great option for getting a jump start on your project. The largest problem with asset libraries is the inconsistency. When you have sometimes thousands of different content creators submitting assets, it can be difficult to find the right assets. When looking for content, it's best to look for curated work. This means looking for sites that take a more active approach to controlling the quality of the content that is uploaded. This will allow you to achieve consistent results while saving time not having to wade through large swaths of content you're not looking for. It's also helpful to try and find assets from the same content creator. This will again ensure consistency and will be a good way to find collections of assets that are all made to work together in a singular type of environment. A great place to look for these types of assets are marketplaces for real-time 3D engines, such as the Unity Asset Store and Unreal Engine Marketplace. These are also good for finding assets that have a level of detail suitable for real-time rendering, a focus not all asset libraries have, which often contain assets for visual effects, architectural rendering, and promotional purposes, that are generally meant for projects that are pre-rendered. Finally, it's good to keep in mind licensing implications of using assets pulled from these marketplaces. They differ from site to site, author to author, and asset to asset. This will be a consideration depending on what your use case is. Almost any asset found in these marketplaces can be used with Ignition Gazebo, given that it's suitable for real-time rendering. Although asset libraries are a great resource, they are not suitable for all purposes. Projects with very large scopes, such as multiple environments, or very varied content within one environment, will be difficult to complete with good consistency and optimization. Having a skilled content creator on hand can help alleviate this issue, as many assets can be modified and optimized to better suit your project. Projects with very specific needs will also have trouble using only assets found online, as finding very specific assets can become a wild goose chase. This is especially true when the assets you need require the replication of an exact physical object or location. There's a lot of demand for increased visual fidelity in robotic simulators. Although lighting, shaders, and other rendering features are incredibly important for realistic visuals, just as important are high-quality assets. Creating, modifying, and properly utilizing these assets is a task that you may want to give to a dedicated content creator. Creating content for robotic simulators is very similar to creating content for other real-time 3D applications, such as video games, VR experiences, architectural visualizations, etc. 3D content creators often have experience with complex tools and software, version control, scripting, and techniques for making development of virtual scenes faster. By integrating a content creator into your project, you will benefit from faster development as well as more accurate simulations that are well optimized for real-time applications. Industries such as video games, visual effects, and architectural design are all great places to look for content creators, such as 3D artists and technical artists. There are also many studios that can offer services such as 3D modeling, animation, and UI creation. For those with fewer resources, consider collaborating with students learning content creation. And that's my presentation. Thank you.